gracious Father, we're so thankful that the weather's very good today. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for all Christians that they will start looking to your word, what you said about things. You told us that all power has been given to Christ, and then all power, as Jesus said, ask the Father anything in my name and it will be done. And yet we have so little faith to believe you for your word. But Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we do, that those, your children do believe you. And Lord, we're assembled here to hear your word. And we're thankful that you lifted all the rains. You know, science said it would be 95% rain today, and we didn't believe that for one minute. We believe that Satan's just a bluff. And so, Lord, we just look to you, and you've done exactly, Lord, exactly what we asked in our prayer, for you to lift the rain. And so you did it. So, Father, I just thank you for all these things that you have done for us, and help us, Lord, to prepare for the going home, that we would have enough faith to go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this afternoon, a little bit right when we start, you will have our song service. And then I asked Brother Peter to testify of the things that God is doing for them over there. You know, they're driving almost 3 hours to get here. And looking past all of the scientific reasoning that you're going to have rain and you're going to have flooding and this and that. And did you have any problem? All right, see. When you believe God, all things are possible. When you don't believe God, you listen to the forecast, okay? You listen to the newspapers and to the, you know, to whatever that they want. It's just Satan. You know, everything you hear in the news today is negative. It's just Satan. They're just trying to beat you down. And if you listen to them, you're going to be beaten down. But if you don't listen to them, you're going to be part of what God is doing. So, all right, this morning, we want to look at April Minister's question and answers. And actually from March, but we preach on the first of the month. And this morning we'll answer some questions from international brothers. And the first question we have is from Jehovah Jireh. He gives a quote. He says, I see Eve go over and shake up Seth and say, Seth will go and shake a little bit on Noah and say, Noah, raise up, and so forth. And on down through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, on down till the last saint that's in the grave when Jesus comes again. And the earth will break forth, and every redeemed will caught up in the air to meet him. We're at the end time, junction time. So the question is, those saints the prophet named in that quote were risen during the Alpha resurrection ministry, isn't that correct? Okay. So will they be resurrected twice during the Omega resurrection ministry? And the answer is no, they've already been resurrected. See, he just labeled some names that he already knew that had been resurrected. He didn't tell you names like, you know, Brother Hickerson and so-and-so and Lee Vail and so-and-so. He didn't want to tell you that. So he gave you names that had already been resurrected. But they're part of the first half of the first resurrection. We are going to be in the second half of the first resurrection. There is only two resurrections, first and second, but the first is split into two, okay? So the answer is, I think he's talking about the completed resurrection, because the second half of the first resurrection has not taken place yet. You know that I'm not sure we refer to that resurrection as the first half of the first resurrection. So, I do not say this as a prophet, for I'm not. But the Bible does say they without us cannot be made perfect without us. So the questions are, who is Paul talking about when he says that? Perhaps he said it in some places, but we just did not catch it when he said it. Now, I believe it is the New Testament saints all the way back to Paul's day. See, when Paul says they without us cannot be made perfect, he's not talking about those that are already resurrected. They're already resurrected. They're already in the presence of the Lord. So question number two then, who is the angel of Revelation 22, 6 and 9? Now, some say it's Brother Branham. This is from South America. Do you think he's an earthly angel or a heavenly angel? Okay, that's the question. Well, the answer is, well, certainly we must go back to Scripture and read all the texts concerning this one to get our answer. Because if we just read Revelation 22, 6 and 9, but we do not take the before and after, we will never get the context correct. So we'll read the entire context concerning who this angel is that he's speaking of here. Now, in Revelation 22:1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life." You ever think about that water? Right? You know, you probably in your mind you picture this river, right? A river, a big river, water, and everything else. But who is the author of life? God. All right. What do we have? God life. You're talking about the river, those proceeding forth from God, are God life. Okay. Now, so Brother Vail drew me a picture that Brother Branham drew for him. He showed a big circle that was God and all of his attributes, and in him were attributes to be healer and savior, redeemer, king, and many more. But there was also attribute to be father, and in him was many attributes to be son, a son. Now we know that life only comes from God. We read in John 5:25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live." Now, what does the word "hear" mean? It means to understand. Just because people listen to a tape doesn't mean they're going to be there, because, oh, well, we hear. Yeah, you hear as a background noise, but they that understand are going to be there, okay? Because you're ordained to understand. So we're looking at all ordained to life will live. Why? Because in God is life. And that life flowed from God to all who are ordained to live, to life. You see, in the book of Acts, we see that all ordained to life will do one thing in common. They will believe. And when the Gentiles heard this, that's Acts 13:48, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, I think I'm speaking too fast. I better slow down. All right? I'm speaking like I used to speak, and maybe that's why God gave me the stroke, so I'd slow down. So I'm going to slow down for you. All right? So you see, in God is life, and so all that life is made up of sons in the image of the Father. Genesis 1:1, every seed will come forth after its kind, and all sons will believe then. And if God, by faith, created all things, then his children will also come forth having the same faith as he did according to Genesis 1 and 11. That should be 1:11. Now, guess what, Peter? You believed, didn't you? It changed weather, didn't it? You're a son. You're a son, Diane. Everybody in here who believed for God to change the weather is a son, because they believed and they asked. And if you asked, and he said, "I'll do anything, the Father will do anything in my name." And if you asked, you believed, you expected, you're a son. What I'm trying to do with all these sermons the last few years is get you ready to ask for your body change. I'm trying to get you ready for the rapture, for the resurrection, so that you can, if you see something, you don't say, "Oh, I must be imagining things." You say, "I believe I saw it. I believe I saw Brother Vail. I believe I saw Brother Hickerson. I believe I saw Brother Neville. I believe I saw these brothers." You see, getting your minds to a place, not an illusion, not a delusion, but seeing God's word for what he promised. He said it would happen. It's going to happen. Okay? Because when it says after its kind, that means after its nature. So our nature will be the same as God's nature, because it is his nature and his life, his same life. I don't have a different part of life than God had, than Jesus had. I just have a smaller portion of what he had, you know. "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, which will take place after the 3.5 years, in fact, at the end of the millennium." So the first resurrection is a resurrection unto what? Life. The second one mentioned is a resurrection of damnation. "Now I can in my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, And my judgment is just. Who's this speaking? The firstborn son. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now, that's how we believe also. We don't want to do what we want to do. We want to do what he wants us to do. But we ask what we want in his name, according to his word. And he does it, okay? Now that we've established that God is a great fountain of life, and if you want more on that subject, go back to my Sermon on the Masterpiece series where I go into the great details of God as a great fountain of life with more detail. Now, David called him the fountain of life, Psalm 36:9. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light, okay? If you walk in the light, you shall see light. If you don't walk in the light, you got shadows, you got darkness. And the picture Brother Vail drew for me, that Brother Bram drew for him, this circle that held all the attributes of God, and the main attribute was life. As David said, God is a fountain of life. And if God himself is a fountain of life, then all of this life is coming out from God like a fountain, then where does it go? It goes forth like a river. Not a stream. A river. Brother Bram said, I saw millions. And thus, Brother Bram drew a stream of river coming forth from God, and he told Brother Vail that that was a Lamb's book of life. A picture. Out of this big circle, a river flowing forth, and this is the Lamb's book of life. This is all whose names were written before the foundations of the world. Okay, so where then does the serpent seed come in? He drew a stick figure downstream, somewhere down in here, and said, that is a serpent. He drew a stick figure, a head, a line with two body legs, two arms, and, you know, he drew a stick figure. Okay, that was a serpent. Now, the serpent ejaculated his seed into the river of life and brought forth Cain, and now you have the river of life, not the lambs anymore. You understand that? Okay, now, from that point on, the river of life is polluted. You now have the other book called the Book of Life because you have in it all life that ever lived. And ministers didn't understand this. They even burnt the Church Age book because Brother Vail in the Church Age book wrote down what Brother Brown told him to write, that there was two books, the Book of Life and the Book of the Lamb's Book of Life. And they said, oh, no, it's all one, all one, all one. And yet the prophet said, no, there's two. Now, to get back to the river of life, you must go upstream before the foundations of the earth, beyond the interjection of life here by the serpent, to see the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the clean, unadulterated seed of God. And here you sit. All right. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now remember, Psalm says that we shall grow up like the tree of life that sitteth by the river of life. Okay, that's Psalm 1:1. It says, blessed is he that, the righteous, you know, sit as a tree of life. Okay, but it says that the ungodly are not so. All right. But in the midst of the tree of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You see that, Diane? All right. And there shall be no more curse. You people are not cursed. Did you know that? You are not cursed. You think you have a disease on you. It's a bluff. Satan's stinger was pulled out at Calvary. You don't have that, what you think you have. You're listening to the devil. You're not listening to God's word. God said you don't have it. The stinger was pulled out. Paul said, grave, where is your victory? Where is your victory? Oh, sting, where's your, grave, where's your death? Whatever it is. I can't remember the scripture, but I remember how it goes. Okay, so. Oh, grave, where's thy victory? Anyway, he says, his stinger was pulled out. He's a bluff to you. The weather we had recently, it was all a bluff. The tornadoes were coming at Peter's house, and I'll let him talk about it. But it was a bluff, because God put a shield over your house. And it wasn't there, was it? Didn't affect your house, did it? All the flooding in the area on the left and on the right. Remember, David said, though they be on the left and on the right, you know, the Lord will save me. You'll keep me. Listen, the devil comes on like a roaring bluff. A roaring lion, but he's a big bluff, okay? Notice a roaring lion. What's a lion? A prophet? The devil comes on like he's really got it. We're prophesying. We're predicting the weather's going to be this. The weather's going to be that. We're predicting that, you know, if you wear a face mask, you'll be healed. Wear 10 face masks and you'll be healed, being better. You know, we're predicting that the teeny little, teeny weeny little thing can't go through the face mask. Well, it can. But we're predicting if you get the shot, you'll never need it again. Oh, excuse me, 6 months later, we predict that you got to have it again. Oh, excuse me, 6 months later, you got to have it again. Oh, 6 months later, you got to have it again. Until the populace of the world have been inoculated in their DNA, and they're no longer human beings totally. They had a, what do they call it? Not mindset 2.0, but what do they call that, Peter? Where the head of the research of Pfizer said, this is something 2.0, I forget what he called it, but, huh? Yeah, it's a modification. You know, it's a 2.0. In other words, what's that?
Huh?
Yes, operating system 2.0. In other words, your brain is going to think different. Why? Because you got their thing, okay? But we didn't. We got God's Word. What happened to God's Word? It kept us free from all sickness, and the world got sick. The world got altered. We didn't get altered, okay? And there shall be no more curse. No more curse. All these injections and political things they got going on, it has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. You're going to be all right. Because you're in God. You're in Christ. You're in the ark. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they that shall see his face and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So you see, if you shall live forever and ever, they have eternal life. These are God's seed. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, that the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now here's the key to this one that we're looking at. He says, behold, I come quickly. Remember the same one in verse 6 up here. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which shortly must come to pass. And remember, John fell at his feet to worship and says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them, I fell at his feet before the angel which showed me these things. And he saith unto me, see thou do it not, for I am of thy fellow servants and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. So, okay. So the brothers stop there and say, this is Jesus Christ. Some do. Others say, no, this has got to be William Branham because he's of thy brethren, the prophets. Have you ever heard that discussion? Have you ever heard people talking about that? And so that is where the question comes from. But they have not read the context, so they are just guessing, but read on. And he saith, who is he? The one who John fell down to worship. And he said to me, seal not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now this sounds like something like the seventh or the last angel would say. But remember, Brother Branham said, I'm not the Elijah, I am, he said, the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you keep looking at the man William Branham, you're going to be lost. I'm sorry. You're going to be lost unless you see the God of the angel who is using the man. You understand what I mean? You understand the difference. Brother Branham was just a man, okay? But he was led by the seventh angel, okay? Now, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. To give every man according to his work shall be, and I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Is that William Branham? Was he the first and the last? Is there anybody in here that believes that? All right, he wasn't. He's just a man like you and I. But who was the first and the last? It was God. Amen? Now, John saw a prophet, but he didn't see who was using the prophet. And that's just like a lot of people who see the prophet. They hear what he's saying, but they don't hear as to understand. They hear as to hear with their ears. I'm telling you that if you're only hearing with your ears, you're still lost. You have got to understand what he said, at least in the context of the doctrine that he brought. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without our dogs, that means male prostitutes, that means politicians, and the media, which we call prostitutes today. And then he says, and sorcerers. And what's the Greek word for sorcery? It's pharmakia, which is big pharma as we know it. And then whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Those are the rest of mankind which are not in the bride. Then he identifies himself who he is. Now, who are they that are liars? Maketh a lie? It's not, you know, if you tell a little white lie here, a little white lie. It's talking about they that are preaching a different gospel. They're liars. They're making up their own doctrine and saying this is what we believe. This is the truth. And yet we believe the prophet and we take it to the scriptures and it doesn't say what they're saying. All right? I, Jesus, have sent, and that doesn't just mean ministers. You know, some people are thinking, well, that means ministers in this message. That means all ministers, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, every one of them. They're all preaching the lie, okay? And Jesus, have I sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit, now see, I am the bright, I am Jesus. Or I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. Well, who's still talking? This one here who said they're whoremongers, and this one here who said, you know, blessed are they that do his commandments, and this one here said, behold, my reward is with me. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 25 that he will, when he comes, he bring his reward with him? All right? Didn't he bring his reward with him? And you're now all our participants of that because we are a generation that's different from Brother Branham's generation. It should have been over. In his day, it should have been over. But God, by his mercy, allowed us and even our children. Why? Because the Bible says, even to the fourth generation. So God has allowed us and our children to come in. It's so beautiful, brothers and sisters, the mercy of God. And just be thankful for it. All right. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star, and the Spirit and the bride will say, come. They'll say the same thing. He says, therefore, they echo what he says, okay? And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That's what we've done with the website all over the world. We've never put a thing where you got to have a certain password to get on. It's going to be blocked from everybody else, but we got a password to get on. They're not saying let them come, are they? They're saying, no, you don't belong, so you're not coming. I say, let them come and let God determine who is who. All right? Here is God's manifested living fountain telling all who will come that you are invited to the same life that we have. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these, unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And the plague was not only hit every nation, but it hit every nation with a vengeance when they put out the so-called vaccine. That's not the first vaccine they've got. They've got a bird flu vaccine and everything else. And you know what the doctors say? It's a farce. When a bird has flu, it doesn't mean a human's going to get it. It doesn't jump over the DNA strain. You've got to have an injection to do that. That's what this is all about. You don't get flu from the devil breathing on you. You get the flu when somebody else has gotten the vaccine and gets it. You remember, we were in Hungary. Everybody was fine in the house. We were staying there. Then the grandmother got the vaccine and then everybody else got sick. Everybody. Why? Because she got the vaccine. You see, it's just like polio. Polio has been eradicated from America. The only incidence of polio in the last, 20, 30, Peter, you could probably tell me better, the last 20, 30 years, maybe 40 years, has been those who have been vaccinated give it to their siblings. You know that? Don't fall for this big pharma ideas. It's all of the devil. In the Bible, they're called pharmakia. They're labeled with the sorcery and the witchcraft and all those people that fornicate and everything. They're labeled together. It's all evil. All right? We see you're at the end. We're at the end time when the plagues fall. And let's face it. The plagues are in the earth and in the people who are still living. It is in them and in their DNA. The stream is polluted. It's polluted the worst it's ever been since the Satan interjected with men. And remember in 204 of the unveiling of God, I showed you that when their DNA gets polluted, the vaccine actually has It has the same chemical in it that the light bug has, okay? And what it does is when you do certain movements, it lights up those certain areas. And it's supposed to, they're supposed to use it down in the future for every task that you do. It will be calculated in your body, and basically you'll be hooked up to these supercomputers, and basically that's how you get paid, and that's your mark of the beast. It's a physical manifestation of the spiritual. They didn't believe God, they believed science instead. Okay? That's where you have to be very, very careful in this hour. Don't believe anything you hear, whether it's on a podcast or whether it's on the news, especially if it's on the news. Especially, because it's all meant to take you downstream, okay? Now, so I said we see we're at the end time and everybody's got in their DNA except for the elect. The stream is polluted. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All right, now question number 3 and 4. The stature of a perfect man, all right, he quotes, you get it? These people who died in here are depending and waiting on us. So this church has got to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection and their souls under the altar, waiting for this church to come to its perfection. Question then, are depending on us. I would like to know exactly how that they are depending on the living saints. Question number 3. This question sounds almost like question 2 and 1. And as I said, I'm not a prophet, but I would say, as I did in question 1, this tells us, like the scripture says, they without us cannot be made perfect. Speaks of the New Testament saints. I believe based on what Brother Branham said in the next quote. From question and answers, he said, and Jesus cannot come until the church, a body of believers, and the ministry that he once had will have to be the same as it was then. And then that brings, without them is not made perfect. Paul said in Hebrews 11, without us, it cannot be perfected. They must have this ministry to raise up the Lutheran, the Wesleys, and all of them down through their ages. There's only seven ages. The Old Testament wasn't called the age of the Old Testament. They're already resurrected. These are the New Testament saints. Ages speaks of seven church ages. I don't know that the Old Testament speaks of any age back then. So question number four, this church has got to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection. Who will be bringing the resurrection? Now, this is really a no-brainer. Who came down with a shout, a voice, and trump? The same one that came with the shout, the message. Brother Branham said, the messenger of this age is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Elijah of this age. He said, I'm not a son of man. I'm not the son of man. He said, Christ is the son of man. I am only a son of man, revealing the son of man. So we know that God raises all the dead, question or answer. And we know that he has descended with a shout, which is the message. And remember, God raised up Jesus, the man Jesus, he raised him up. God raises up everybody, all right? Then God came down with a shout, which is a message. Then it turns to a loud voice that raises the dead, and then a trump, which catches us away. Now, from the rapture, Brother Branham said, the first thing is a sounding of the shout, and then a voice, and then a trumpet. Shout, a messenger getting the people ready. The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice a loud voice in John 11:38 that called Lazarus from the grave, getting the bride together, and then resurrection of the dead, see, to be caught up with it. Now, watch the three things take place. Now, I'd just like to add this. When Jesus heard the news that Lazarus was dead, the Bible says he wept. Is that right? You think God can weep? He wept. But when he went to the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth, who was speaking? God was speaking. You see the difference between the Father and the Son. Now, remember that God is God. He's a spirit. You cannot see him. So use a vessel, and the vessel wept in one instance and spoke the word of God in another, and he came forth. Now, remember this also. If God had spoken and said, come forth, the resurrection would have been on. Brother Bram said so. But he used Lazarus specifically so that Lazarus would come out. Apparently, there wasn't any Lazarus that God was thinking of at the time. All right, except for this one. The same voice, a loud voice in St. John 11, 38 and 44 that called Lazarus from the grave, getting the bride together, and then the resurrection of the dead, see, to be caught up with it. Now watch the three things take place. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, I would not that you be ignorant, brethren. He's not coming for an ignorant people. He's coming for a people of understanding. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also will sleep in Jesus. Also them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now he said this by the word of the Lord. It's scripture. For the Lord himself, there's only one Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's the voice. That's the message. With the voice of the archangel, that's the resurrection, and with the trump of God, changing and getting out of here, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So you see, God descends with a shout, voice, and trump. God does all three himself. From quotes, so we have a quote from for question number five, looking at Jesus. We're beyond Pentecost, all right? The same as we are Methodists and Lutheran. We're way up to the coming of the Lord, where the ministry that Jesus Christ exercised himself has to be exactly. Like the headstone on the pyramid, has to be so honed till every stone fits perfectly. And the church has got to get in that condition to receive the headstone. That's why I've been preaching what I've been preaching for the last few years. Then take the whole thing in the resurrection when the body's raised up. Now, I believe that God is waiting. There's certain brothers, certain people One here, one there, one there. They've all been exercising their faith. They've all seen God do something supernaturally, even children. I mean, my own daughter, I've seen all three of my daughters do some things like that. But we're waiting on the whole church to do it. In other words, you've got to quit thinking what the devil's going to call you or what your neighbor's going to call you because, oh, you're just a fanatic. You're doing this and that. If God tells you to do something, you do it. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the wife says. I don't care what the husband says. I don't care what the children say. Do it. And it'll be done. Ask the Father anything in my name. Ask him anything in my name, and I'll do it. Do you really believe that? I know you do because you did. All right? I know you do. You're ready. I know I am. I've seen storms go. I've seen heat waves dissipate after prayer. I know that there are certain of us that are ready. We're ready. I don't care what your personality is. That's your personality that will die with your flesh. I'm talking about your faith. You've got to have the same creative faith God exercised when he created the worlds by his word. He said it, it's going to happen. God said it, he believed it, it happened. Jesus said it, he believed it, it happened. You have got to be, as a son of God, show yourself that you are a son of God by saying what God said and believing for the results. It's not up to you to produce the results. You don't have to sit and squirm and push and pressure it to happen. It's going to happen because God said it would happen. If you believe him. It's simply if you believe him. Look, I should be dead. You know I should be dead. The doctors all said, well, look at these pictures of your central vessel running through your brain. It was squished down like a, you know, like you twisted a water pipe. He said, you should either be dead or you should be drinking your food out of a straw. And I said, I don't look at that stuff. I look at the promise of God. We don't look at what doctors tell us. I'm sorry, they can help us and they can also hinder us. We look at the word of God. It never hinders you. It always helps you. So take every situation in your life and apply the word and you're better off. So the quote for question number 5, looking at Jesus. We're beyond Pentecost, the same as we are Methodist and Lutheran. We're way up to the coming of the Lord, where the ministry that Jesus Christ exercised himself has to be exactly like, and it was with William Branham, but how about with you? You see, are you asking the Father anything in his name? Are you seeing the results? All right. Like the headstone on the pyramid has to be so honed till every stone fits perfectly. And the church has got to get in that condition to receive the headstone. Then take the whole thing in the resurrection when the body's raised up. So question number 5. So the church has got to get in that condition of maturity to receive the headstone. So what condition is he speaking of? Well, the answer is, remember the quotes for question number 4. He said, we've got to come to that perfection, and the perfection in the Bible speaks of a finishing off of maturity. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting. Now, the Greek word there is basically katartismos, if I got that right, which means completing or furnished off of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, you've got to come to a finishing off. Okay. Then he says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this word perfect used in this verse is the word telios, which also means completion, but also means mature or full growth. Mature or a full growth. In a mental and moral character, is your moral character finished off? Is your mental character finished off? Do you believe God's promises? Amen. Is your moral character finished off? Are you still pulling deals? Hope not. You see, and it speaks of, that's what a completeness is. It's mental and moral. So You go to the store, they give you back a dime too much or a dollar too much. Do you keep it? Or do you say, hey, you made a mistake. My math shows me that I should have gotten such and such back, and you gave me more than that. All right? Oh, nobody will know. It's only our secret. You know what? You're not morally completed yet. And this word perfect, as I said, is teleos. Okay, so when Brother Branham is speaking about the perfection, he's talking of when the bride believes all this message, mentally and morally, she is capped off with the mental and moral character of Christ. Then he can call you brother and sister. Got it? Question number six. We know that the Alpha ministry is supposed to repeat in Omega. So during the Alpha resurrection, the resurrected saints were seen by some living, Caiaphas, as the prophet explained in some of his sermons. But for the Omega resurrection, only the living bride will see or meet the resurrected in the tent. So what do you think about that difference? There's a difference, okay? Well, the answer to number six is Brother Ram told us that it will not be a public display this time. That is all I can say. Both Alpha and Omega have a resurrection. But the public display for this age was the resurrected life of Christ in the prophet's ministry. It was publicly went around the world. As Brother Ram said, it was not hidden in a corner. So God has already displayed the resurrection. Now you will have it privately. You go in the box privately. The little 10 by 12 box in the tent. The closet, Brother Ram called it. You come out, and now you rejoice, and those that have been changed in their bodies are rejoicing with you. But they didn't see you while you're in the box. You're there with the angel of the Lord and Brother Ram. Okay? So answer to, again, from what is the vision? He said, now, here's something. Notice close. There's a difference between the angel of the Lord and that light. Okay, we'll stop right there. What did John see? He saw the angel. But where's the light? It's the God in that angel. All right? Notice close, there's a difference between the angel of the Lord and the light. Because I heard something a-moving, as it does when it comes to at the platform, kind of like, and Brother Brown makes a sound, whoosh, and like a fire flapping around, licking blaze. Now, my wife's parents saw that. Brother Brown's coat was flapping, his tie was flapping when the pillar of fire, the whirlwind, when Brother Brown was prophesying, the whirlwind actually came into the armory, which is, a huge building in Waterloo, 1950, maybe 54, I can't remember. And it left me, and it went right down over the top of that audience and went and stood over the top of that little building, then settled down on top of it. Then when it did, this one that was standing with me behind the same voice, the angel's voice, see, the whirlwind came in, the pillar of fire came down, sat over the box, he said. The angel was still there with him, said, I'll meet you in there. In where? In the box. And this is the third pole, but nobody will know nothing about it. Kind of like the upper room at Pentecost. It wasn't for everyone. This is not the upper room, but it's the inner room. They had an upper room in the Alpha. We have an inner room in the Omega. Was any unbeliever aware of what took place in the upper room? Nope. So it's the same thing in Omega, only we have an inner room. Then after the upper room experience, they went out and the public knew something was going on. And I said, well, I don't understand why in there. Why in there? He said, it will not be a public show this time. I said, I don't understand going into that closet like that. And he said, is it not written by the Lord, when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites, who like to be heard before men, but enter into a secret closet and pray to the Father, whose secret who seeth in secret, and he who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's perfectly to the scripture every time it is. And I said, I understand. Then he took me to the place and set me down in this room where I was at, and then he told me what to do for the third time. Now, Christian friends, that's that'll and when I leave this world, that'll still be in my bosom when I. But you mark my words, what's going to take place when that. So, brother, sister, do you believe him? I do. I'm going to be there too. I'm going to get my change. I'm going to be young again. Only this time, I'll be a son of God fully. And I won't be influenced by the things of this world. Now, question number 7. In your sermon on Satan's Eden, 2:12, the Holy Spirit is a life. You said, in other words, to understand what twins are all about and to be able to discern twins when we see it. If we would open our Bibles to 1 John 5:12, let's take for our text 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. So the question is, I may be wrong, Brother Brian, but I just cannot understand how John 5:12 is about twins, as two persons speaks of in 1 John 5:12 are apparently different. Answer to question number 7. Notice one echoes the word and one echoes the life and the other one cannot. One echoes the life and the other cannot. That is twins all the way. Do you understand it? From understanding, a quote for question number 9. Stature of a perfect man. I don't know what this is, but you. It was just kind of left blank. Under this present administration, Roman Catholic Church owns the gold of the world, and what they'll do is sell out. These rich men, now the Roman Catholic Church doesn't sell out, by the way. It's the people that need the gold sell out. The people that have the paper sell out. Now, these rich men and so forth of the earth, as the Bible said, what will they do before these they lose the Brown and Williams Tobacco Company? Most all of them's Catholic anyhow. And all these other things, what will they do? They'll accept that and they'll take the money from Rome. See, he's explaining what I just said. And then she sold her very birthright. So the question to number 8 is, regarding the cleanup President Trump is currently doing to bring money back in the U.S. with his MAGA, Make America Great Again, how will the U.S. continue to borrow money from Rome? Well, the answer to this question should be, how are we going to borrow money from Rome? The word continue is new to me. I do not understand the USA owes the Vatican presently. So, if we do, then we won't continue to borrow, but we will be begging to borrow. Brother Bram says the USA will be broke, is broke, and actually is now. The people would never stand for them to outright borrow from the Vatican, making us indebted to them. But the prophet said the Wall Street Jews will do so. So it will have to come in the form of a bailout to Wall Street. When will this happen? Who knows? Perhaps when the Depression occurs, and that could happen as soon as God lifts his hand off this country when the rapture has already taken place. I don't believe we will be affected. Just like the Jews in Goshen were not affected by what happened in Egypt. Question number 9. There is a prophecy about the coming American Pope. Will this be fulfilled when the USA will be taking money from Rome? Answer to number 9. First of all, he said the Pope comes out from the USA. He never did say from America. If he said the American Pope, then you can count that Pope Francis is an American Pope because he's South American. But he didn't say American, he said USA. Now, if that were so, like I said, then this Pope came out of America, South America. This Pope said is said to be on his last leg, and the Catholic Church believes Pope Francis is the last one before the Antichrist comes. That's what the prophecy by Malachi, he was considered to be a prophet. He said every single pope that would come from his time on, what they would be a symbol, there would be a symbol of a dove for peace. And this pope had a great peace during his time. There was another one that showed this or that, you know. And so each of those popes was there by a symbol, okay? they weren't named per se, but they were named by a certain symbol. The Pope is said to be on his last leg, and the Catholic Church believes this Pope Francis is the last one before the Antichrist comes. So that's the prophecy we're talking about. That's the prophecy Brother Branham's talking about. So I can expect something will come out of the USA, but we may never see it until we are gone in the rapture. So it doesn't concern us. We just have to wait. Because when it happens, when we are gone, we don't even care. Because we know it's going to come true because God's prophet said it would come true. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that, Lord, we are getting in the condition to speaking, like Brother Vail would always say, speaking food on the table, doing whatever. We're getting to the place of faith. And faith simply is a revelation. And that revelation is either God's word is right or it isn't right. If we believe it's not right in this place and not right in that place, then we're under a delusion or an illusion. But if it is right in all cases, which it is, then we are, by revelation, seeing God's word and stepping into it. That's all we're saying, is your church is now becoming mature. Now, maybe we may not be fully mature morally, or maybe we're not fully mature in our feelings because our feelings get hurt. But that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about immaturity mentally and morally. Are we committing adultery? Are we lying? Are we stealing? Are we breaking any of your Ten Commandments, your Father's instructions to the church? No, I don't think we are. So, Father, I just pray that you would watch over us and continue bringing us to full maturity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.